Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
He says, I have set watchmen on the walls. Look at your neighbor, say, watchman. You did sleep. Here, watchman, they sleep. I mean, how ironic. They called you watchman and you are sleeping. It's not possible. They shall never hold their peace. It says, day or night, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silence. Let me tell you something. This stretching is a crucial part of the discipleship. Crucial. Crucial. You see, when the Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions, it's very fitting because sometimes we forget that just maybe the people leading the prayers are probably more tired. The people shouting. Because you in the audience, you can take many stylish postures. I've been seeing you. I've been seeing you. You know, one of the times the crane was panning like this, I saw somebody in between the rows just lay down mataka. I like that prayer posture. Baba God, now me first pray this style. now me first pray this style. It is part of the training. Yakubu! I promise you, you will not die. Is that clear? All right, be seated. Something very important to learn. You know, don't try this at home, but I'm getting used to it. You know, I think on Thursday, you know, I finished my prayer at 6 a.m. because my prayer partner and I had prayed through the night. Well, much of it. And I wore my clothes, went straight to the gym, walked out, then came back to the office, did 3 studio recordings, and then went, took a shower, went to Ibadan and preached, and came back 11 p.m. And my prayer partner was waiting. Don't worry, I told him, I said, see you 6 a.m. I'm just saying that for a reason. James 5 again. James 5. There's something. If this is all you pick tonight, it's quite important. It's quite important. James 5 from verse 16. You know, I almost texted you when I was praying to say, I hope you're not going to miss this night because this night is for you. This night is for you. It's okay to say amen, everybody, but James 5, Thank you, sir.
It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Listen, we're going to do that. Remember what we discovered about Elijah. He will read it and stand on it. Very simple. It says we should pray for one another and not as a matter of formality. When we pray for one another, what did he say will happen? So that's what's going to happen this morning. Answer me, Joe. And he says, the heartfelt continued. Not everybody knows how to pray heartfelt prayer. And not everybody knows how to make heartfelt and continued prayer. If your pastor hasn't taught you how to stretch in prayer, he has failed 50% of the curriculum. Because there are some things you can know in your head that will never become operative until you learn to pray. I'm telling you, until you learn to pray. Have you ever been praying and the scripture you always knew hit you? Bam! Because prayer is like a sieve. It shakes the world so it can enter your spirit. When it hits you, some of you probably don't know what it means to be drunk in the spirit. The same Bible you've been reading, it hits something here. Yeah? And now you cannot be contained. You cannot be contained. You begin to roar. You know, the first time that thing happened to me, I didn't know what it was. But I was running around the room. You know, I will never forget the song I was singing. I think it was, I spent my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you are. The greatness of our God. And no sky, what? I've forgotten the words. No doubt restrains all you are. The greatness of our God. I spend my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you are. The greatness of our God. There is nothing that could ever separate us. There is nothing that could ever separate us from your love. No heart, no death. Of this I am convinced, you, my God, are greatest. The thing shocked me. I started running. I broke a table that day. Just punctured it with the heel of my... I can't explain it. It had a plywood in front of it. So when I was done, I saw the damage. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. But I want to establish a pattern. This importunity It's the trademark of giants in the kingdom. March round Jericho 13 times. Joshua did. Tarry until you are endued with power from on high. The disciples did. And the church prayed without ceasing for Peter. There's a difference between praying 2 hours, praying 10 hours, and then actually praying until the miracle knocks you at the door. The pattern is clear. So as a continuation to what I was saying, not only did Elijah pray, we were not really given the exact detail of how we prayed before the rain ceased, but we were told how we prayed for the rain to come again. The Bible says he put his head between his knees. And then he told the servant, go and check. Come on, are you listening to me? That's not a religious prayer. You want the answer now. When you pray and you say, go and check, it means you expect the prayer to work now. Not everybody knows how to do that, too. Not everybody knows how to pray and check. Because some of you have played church all your life. Played church all your life. So you can be religious about it and just pray because he said pray. What I'm describing will require that you learn to pray and check. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't know, but what I'm describing in the spirit might have affected you in other areas of your life. Because you live in a culture that has taught you that humility is silence. You've never learned to speak up for yourself, to clarify, to negotiate. You see, let me tell you something. As the Lord began to give me more influence, and I had the privilege to meet more influential people, I noticed something immediately about them. I don't know if anyone here has noticed this, but maybe it's your boss in the office or somebody influential, the few people that you know. Have you noticed they always want to be prioritized? I know you think they are that way because they are powerful. Maybe they became powerful because they are that way. They expect to be prioritized and they like results now. Is that true? They like results now. And if it is not happening in a way that they think it ought to happen, they will talk about it, they will negotiate, they will clarify. Maybe some doors did not open, not because they were locked, but because you never knocked. Even the Bible says, knock and it shall be opened. God wants it to open, but he has demanded that you do something. You will show interest. Ask to receive. Seek to find. Knock and the door will open. There are some things that are your destiny that still won't open except with deliberate attempts. Come on, are you listening to me? Some of you have never truly determined to change. Never. Never. Can I give you a simple example? At the induction of a university, there's something they usually do. Maybe they did it in your induction. They will ask, how many of you want to make a first class? What do you think everybody does? Everybody raise their hand. But when it comes to the daily grind, showing up early for each class, submitting the assignments, I mean, that requires doing it early and well, submitting it. Not just preparing for exams. There's a level of excellence you're looking for. You would treat the CA as though it is important. Maybe even more important, because that one is controlled. It's a take-home assignment. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It is those things that now make the difference. Somehow, both the natural world and the spirit world, they respond to people who can demand. I will not let you go until you bless me. Please, are you listening to me? Or are you answering from the dream realm? You are doing well, don't worry. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant in this night vigil. Be vigilant. There is vigilant in that vigil. Vigil. So if you are sleeping, it says be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Everybody read as loud as you can, want to go. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 12. You're also going to read this as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. So you see, in many instances, the Bible clarifies the way we ought to pray. There must be steadfastness to it. There must be persistence and tenacity to it. He checked. There was nothing. He said, check again. There was nothing. Some people pray as if they expect the prayer not to work. They pray as if they expect the prayer not to work. What I'm about to tell you is crazy. It doesn't matter how many times you think it did not work. If you can be crazy enough to always expect your prayer to work, you will never be the same again. Come on, are you listening to me? You will never be the same again. Say that with me. I expect it to work. So now, you are praying and you ask someone to go and check. Do you know it will still be some massive flex to pray and say, don't worry, by this time tomorrow it will rain. But you are praying and on the spot, you say, climb! Check the sky. Check. It's changing. It's changing now. It's changing now. Tell the person by your side, say, it's changing now. It's changing. It's changing now. Like you are praying. You are still on your knees. You've not gotten up. And you say, go and check. It's changing. And you are so convinced. Listen to me. You have seen more clearly in your spirit than he's seen with his natural eyes. So when he comes back, even his negative report does not intimidate you. You say, check again. To bring that to your context, you're praying for a healing. You go for a scan. They say it's still there. Check again. You can go back to the prayer room depending on the clarity of the vision. In fact, sometimes you see so clearly, you know you don't need to pray again. It's done. The X-ray of heaven is more accurate than that machine there. I've seen these things a few times. The first time something like this happened. We're in a small room. And there is a type of oil that comes on me sometimes. And when it comes on me, you won't be able to tell which office I'm really called to. Because I will function like a textbook prophet. So I pointed to one lady. I said, I see your CGPA, 4.82. And she said, oh, sorry, sir. It's actually 4.7. So I said, I'm sorry. Maybe I was wrong. It was an early morning prayers. So we're done. She went to class. And then the class rep stood in front and said, please, bear in mind that so-and-so course has been remarked. The scores are on the board. And so I think, I can't remember the details, whether it was one or two courses where she had C before, were upgraded to A. And guess the new CGPA, 4.82. I said, see, let me tell you something. Sometimes it's medicine that will catch up. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because when God looks at you in the secret place and says, today I have made you father of nations. Don't start waiting. Don't wait 50 years to see. Change your name instantly. You change your name instantly. You believe it, right? You can receive something in this place. And it changes your name. And you'll never be the same again. And it will show that you met with the Lord. Maybe tenacity is too religious a word. Let's call it stubbornness. People who can stubbornly insist on the will of God. Stubborn. I want this church to be very stubborn. Stubborn in your convictions. What do you know about God that nobody can talk you out of? Nobody can talk you out of it. What do you know about God that you can defend with your life? What have you tested? What have you proven? Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
So, in general, just become the kind of person that is sturdy in God. Sturdy. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
He wants us to be. And little things like this, little alterations like this, in your modus operandi, in your approach to prayer, will often be the difference between a nominal church and a revival church. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Because the moment a church just chooses to wake up, that's when you will really know what God has given you. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody. I think I read it somewhere years ago. Because I was in the center of it. I mean, I saw it with my eyes, but maybe it never really dawned on me because I was too young to really appreciate. But now that I am pastoring a church, it hits different to know that there's a church in this country that grew from 3,000 to about 40,000 in 4 years. I mean, one branch. Did you hear what I just said? So, when it comes to church growth, personal discipleship, spiritual warfare, just vex. Are you listening to me? Just get annoyed. That's when you will realize many times that God was waiting for you all along. You thought he was going to sovereignly intervene, meaning, but meanwhile, in his sovereignty, he had waited for you to get annoyed. The sovereign decree is that it will happen when you get annoyed, and the yoke shall be destroyed when you have grown fat. Are you listening to me? You can be a church goer and the devil is still playing games around your family until you get annoyed. Or you don't know that one. You'll be seeing some patterns until you get annoyed. That's the only realm where anger is allowed. We call it holy anger. Peter had been passing the same place. The same woman with the familiar spirit had been doing all that nonsense until one day. This day is that day for you. I said, this day is that day for you. I said, this day is that day for you. So, one of the few things we'll do before we close. Now, I hear there is environmental today, so I'm going to wrap this up so that we can be out of here in 90 minutes max. I know you're sad. Say, oh. But we're going to pray for Celebration Church. I sense very strongly that God wants to do a new thing. I sense very strongly. Did you hear what I said? I sense it very strongly. You know, I've told you before, because this is the way I saw it in my vision. Just imagine two people invest in the same business, the same capital, and the return is the exact same return, but the first person calls it a harvest. The second person calls it a seed, a bigger seed, and puts everything back. The Lord said, don't think that all you are seeing is the harvest. Because most of the people you are seeing are just the soldiers that will bring the harvest. Yeah. So not too long from now, our current church size will be our workforce. Yeah? Right time. Right time. not too long from now.
So shall it be.
Yeah. So, what should be our mentality? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38, and this is fitting because what I'm about to read is what is about to happen. So, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 to 38, the Bible says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly really is plentiful, but the laborers are what? A few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, if you stop here, you would think that that means the role of the disciples was just to be praying. Lord, send forth laborers, send forth laborers. Because some of you, you think of these things in third person. Because you have insisted that your own role is kingdom financier. Cut! Who said you have to choose? You will finance and you will do the work. You know, there was a facility we were trying to get in Abuja for a program. Very prime facility. And we're given an appointment. I got to the place and the owner of the facility was not around, a woman. So she sent a text to apologize, please, I'm coming. And when she came in with her megaphone. So before work every day, she's on the streets preaching. A multi-billionaire. So she apologized that her evangelism took longer than usual. Then you, it's only money you want to give. No. There is prophecy over you. Etido, are you dodging? I said, there is prophecy, you did like this. By reflex, you did like. You cannot dodge this one. So he says, he's telling them, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, all right, into his harvest. So maybe they're just prayer warriors. Bear in mind that the Bible wasn't always written in chapters and in verses. So sometimes, see, chapters and verses are very good for referencing and they have good advantages. But in contexts like this, there are many things that you miss. If you were reading it without chapters and verses, what I'm about to show you wouldn't have been revelation to you. You would have seen it. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, and when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all sicknesses and all diseases, and he sent them out. Oh, I'm in the prayer department. We are praying for the evangelist, my friend. You will pray and you evangelize. And I can tell you one thing for a fact. This is the engine that causes a revival, not just in the local church, but in the body of Christ. Because you see, there is a sense to which the pastors are not in the harvest. Forgive this. I don't mean that that's what Jesus really meant, literally. But our context is slightly different. Context is slightly different. I mean, sometimes it's weird for me. Something happened. Sometimes, maybe I'm at the gym and the person by my side is just reflexo, just singing worship songs. He's done so much for me because just my being there convicts him. So he wants me to know I'm one of the good guys. And it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh all the time. Like I just step into places and people want to adjust. You know, and all of that. There is a context you have I may never have. There are some people you can reach more effectively than I can. Because there's a name for it. We call it sphere of influence. There are some people that are in your sphere of influence. They are in your sphere of influence. There are some people, if you leave them to on their own, go on YouTube and look for my sermon, it might take 8 years. For some of them, it may never happen. But when the woman in John 4 says, come and see this man that showed me everything I ever did, is not this day. See, there is a power of a personal testimony. And that's what some of you have never done. Never done. Some of you, you know, I've said it before. I won't. There are some DMs I don't read out on stage anymore, deliberately. If you want to share your testimony, come and share it in church. Don't stress me. Share your testimony. Let lives be blessed by it. Let there be a ripple effect in the lives of others. Come on, are you listening to me? So simple things like your testimony, simple things like preaching. See, the more you do the work of a disciple, the more you grow in discernment. Let me give you an assignment. It's a simple assignment on discernment because God was training me on these things. To be a genuine man of God, you must learn to see people beyond their natural face. You know that, don't you? See people from their spirit. There are some people who look nice and they are almost as callous as Satan. So the assignment I want to give you is this. Just go on Google and Google murderers who were arrested. You know, the police in this country will always show you their face. I want you to see something. Or all those stories where, all those gruesome stories. If you can handle it, gruesome stories. Those ones, I don't want to give examples. If you can, put their face side by side. I want to show you something. I want to show you that if you were walking past such a person on the street, you may never know, except by the Spirit. Some of these possessed people look as normal as anyone else. And if you evangelize well, you will know what I'm saying. There are some people who look strong, who look wicked. And in their heart of hearts, they are hoping somebody will just preach to them. They are hoping. That neighbor of yours is even wondering why you carry your Bible, they see you, you greet them on your way to church, and you never asked if they would like to follow you. They're wondering. And I've told you before, I saw a video. One guy said, one reason I know that Christianity is a sham, it's because I had many Christians around me. None of them ever bothered to preach to me. He said, admittedly, I look like a hard guy. I look like a wicked guy because I have tattoos everywhere, you know, and all of that. But secretly, I hoped that one day, just one day, somebody would tell me about Jesus. He said that nobody ever did. So I concluded that they couldn't have been so convinced about their position and not preach. That is how he came to believe is a lie. Because of the Christians around him. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? So, you are going to be the kind of believer that Jesus can count on. Say a loud amen to that. Amen. Can you please say amen one more time? Amen. So as the Lord revives us, because revival is in twofold. There are some churches that need to be revived because they are dead. If you look at the churches that Jesus wrote to in the book of Revelation, to the church at Sardis, he said, you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. But then to the church at Ephesus, they were not dead. He said a lot of nice things about them, but they still needed a kind of renewal. He said, one thing I have against you, you've forgotten your first love. So revival is either the dead coming back to life, or those who are alive having a fresh emphasis of priority. The people who know, who need this are people, for instance, who have gotten so familiar with the formalities of Christianity. You go through the motions. You're always in church, but you no longer expect anything. If you fall into this category, you need a revival. Just in case you didn't know. Please, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? If you fall into that category, you need a revival. You've gotten too familiar with worship. When was the last time you sang a worship song and really paid attention to the lyrics? Now, let me tell you something. In my work with God, I always have personal projects. And one of the things the Holy Ghost is pressing me on. I don't like to share personal projects, but I will tell you this one. It's attention to details. As simple as that is. Simple, you know, is one of the, what will I call it? I have a form of creative laziness. Like, the moment I get the point, for instance, I was telling you that song that changed my life. Until now, I still miss the lyrics sometimes. I shall know what the song says. And so the Holy Ghost is saying, at this level of your life, you will need to pay attention to the details. Are you listening to me? And that's what personal revival looks like. Some things that the Lord will highlight. Some simple things that will be like a reintroduction of the Lord Jesus to you afresh. The same person you've known all your life. It's like a re-emphasis. Has the Lord ever told you to go back to the basics? Especially the simple things you used to do religiously before that you're not doing anymore. Remember when, if you go 24 hours and you have not read a chapter of the Bible, it will be as if, oh my God, it was horrible. You know, horrible in a good way, but after I got filled with the Spirit, it will get to a certain point. If I had not had time to pray, I would start almost feeling sick physically. It's not physical, but I will feel irritated. Something was always driving me. I'll never forget. There was a time, I'll never forget, where I was in the cafeteria. I stopped the conversation halfway. I have to leave this place now. I couldn't explain. And I ran like I was late for an exam. Dashed into the room and on my knees. For some of you, it's not that exact same way, but you know what I'm talking about. Before. It must come back. In fact, it is back. So you now begin to pay more attention to the things you already do. Prayer gathering, corporate worship, waiting upon the Lord, repentance, consecration, you pay more attention to them. Then you start paying attention to discipleship. All right? Personal discipleship. The way you listen if you are going to teach is different from the way you listen if you are just listening. You know that, don't you? If I told you that immediately when I'm done, I'm going to give you the mic to teach the same thing, you know you will listen the same way. Yeah, will you listen the same way? Some of you who are feeling sleepy now, if I just tell you, the moment I'm done, I will give you the microphone, your eye will clear. See, that's what I'm saying. So, I'm explaining the key to revival. When you see yourself as a laborer in the harvest, the reason why churches are nominal is because the members see themselves as spectators. The members see themselves as spectators. You know, one of the earliest things God taught me, and I began to do it consciously, and everybody that benefited from what I did, till now, they didn't know that I did it consciously. But in those days, as an undergraduate, when I come into the same service that is just maybe cold spiritually, when they say, "Let us pray," I would just go, ra-da-da-da-da-da-da, and quietly, like a ripple effect, the person by my side too wakes up. Ra-da-da-da. The person by his side wakes up. The person, you can start a chain reaction. Have you ever been in a service where somebody said something profound? You felt like clapping, but you didn't clap. But then someone started the clap. Then everybody joined. It's spiritual. The Bible says to provoke one another to love and good works. Meaning there is a way I will act that will make people around me sit up. It is true. One of the toughest roommates I had, I was in 200 level and he was in 500. You already see the problem. He felt I had nothing to teach him. And not only was he in 500 level, he was old for his class. I think he got into school late. And oh my God, he thought I was doing too much, praying too much. I thought he hated me. But when we're about to go home, the last day in that room, he looked at me, almost with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." I mean, he was too arrogant to tell me exactly what he's thanking me for or the extent of it. But believe me, if you know him, you would appreciate the fact that he said thank you 3 times. If I'm that kind of person, if you say for what, if you scatter everything, you say wait to. Wait till they feel like this. Hallelujah! He said, "Go therefore, make disciples." Kai! So, just imagine as a member, there's somebody you invite to a church. They start coming because of you. Do you know there are some of you that just by the way you love Jesus and you love this church, out of curiosity, your friends decided to check? I'll never forget. You know, I think I've said this before. I think it was sometime in 2014. Almost 8 people in one office, all joined this church. And 8 was a big number then. How many were the whole ministry global? Because there's a way you will behave. And people will not like me. They will think I'm the one teaching you that rubbish you are doing. That's why from time to time I used to give disclaimers so that they will know you are on your own. And there's a way you will also act.
I mean, there are parents who came to this church because, this boy that we were begging to go to church is now praying in the spirit 1 hour, dressing decently. He has stopped partying. I want to see what they are giving in that church.
There's one of our pastors, you know, I used to say it in passing, one day I will tell you who. His very first service in this church, he was high. He smoked from house come. So, squinting his eye like this. But something touched him, so he came again. And then came again. And then came again. And then the same person who had, I think, an extra year because he was not interested in education, his parents were freaking out and all of that, he started going to classes, being responsible, praying in the spirit, dressing decently, changing his friends. The woman came, said, just so that you will not change, I dash him to you. Just whatever you are doing, make sure you just continue. I came to officially hand him over. That thing, you must continue it. Well, he's a pastor now. That's how I'll be sharing your testimony too. I didn't hear that amen. So this is what God is going to do with us. I've spoken too long, and I'm sure you are eager to pray, so I'm just going to wrap this up and we'll get to it. So, I missed a joke somewhere. So, some practical discipleship systems we're going to take seriously. New believers follow up. All right, there's a platform that the pastors just came up with. It's like 100 days of discipleship style, where we'll be going over some basics of the Christian faith. You know, it's a combination of number one that I'm mentioning and number two, which is foundational doctrine classes. How many of you OGs know what we call manifest Bible class? All right. I don't want to implicate myself, but I promise you, in about 3 months, 3 months, we'll have a 10-hour Bible study here. 10 Yeah, so. And then number three, small groups. Small groups. What we call it in this church is meet and pray. Meet and pray. Meet and pray. Let me tell you something. The moment you can make good Christian friends, your life will never be the same. There is something about sin that tries to force us to stay anonymous. Adam was the first sinner ever, so there was no book to read on how to behave when you sin. But the moment they ate the fruit, nobody told them. They went hiding. Instantly. They went hiding. And God, this is a prophetic metaphor for some of you. God came calling, where are you? There are some of you, God is calling, where are you? You run away from accountability You hate it like it's a plague. When follow-up unit calls you, you're always so annoyed. You hate the follow-up. Cain too, follow the script. Am I my brother's keeper? It is sin that makes people talk like that. You don't want to be accountable. But accountability is one of the ways that you show that you are a disciple. There should be people. Some of you, the way you post online, there are two tragedies. Number one is the post itself. Number two, how could you post this and get away with it? It means all your friends are idiots, every one of them. Yes. You can't use handkerchief to sew a gown. Post it and not one of your friends could call you out on it. You know, in those days, somebody in our extended family we were praying for. She wore a dress and came out and asked one of us, what do you think? He said, oh, the shirt is nice. Where's the trouser? Oh, so that's a nice shirt. Where's the trouser? You know, as a guy, you can't just be fooling online and nobody could call you and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? There was a young man 3 years ago. I sent him a DM. I said, just so you won't be wondering, I unfollowed you because of this post. So I didn't want it to be strange. Because I told him before. What do you think? I won't tell you what he did. Tell us. Come on, I get what I'm saying. And the most important aspect of all of this is to have the mindset of a minister in training. This one is the engine of revival. The engine of revival. That when the Lord wants to have Saul converted, and Peter is not in the vicinity, James is not in the vicinity, John is not in the vicinity, the Lord can call one Ananias. He's just a disciple. We are not told that he's pastoring any church. But he's sensitive enough, consecrated enough to recognize the voice of God, and he was not responding as if he was hearing God for the first time. Come on, are you listening to me? You know, there's a celebrity in this country. He came to the Island Branch for the first time. That was my station at the time, you know. And now, there was a gig that was going to make him compromise. He was thinking, should I take it? Should I take it? So he didn't have the opportunity to see me. He actually tried to see me, and there were so many people around. So as he was going, you know, one lady just called him, sorry, sir. I don't know you before, but the Lord spoke to me clearly. And he said, I can't remember exactly. If you let go of Ishmael, I will give you Isaac. He started sweating. Which kind of church be this? At the door, on his way out. She's not a pastor. She's not just a member. Just a member. He was a member of this church. Still is. had been going through some patterns of sickness. I was investigating, and my wife and I picked it. Okay, this is a demon. But we're busy. When are we going to pray for you? When are we going? So we kept postponing, you know. And then, so the next time we sent word to her, she said, "Oh, sister so-and-so prayed for me and cast out the demon." I said, "Ah, that's what I'm talking about. Ah, that's what I'm talking about." I went to the gym some 3-4 years ago. So in my head, I'm thinking, by the fourth time in this gym, I'm going to evangelize this gym instructor. So, no man. So, when Anna said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Are you filled with the Spirit?" "Yes, sir." So I said, "Oh, that's good." And I just said some things. And I continued with the bench press. He now said, "Do you know who got me born again?" I said, "Who?" And he mentioned a member of this church that I knew very well. How proud I felt that somebody had gotten there first. Are you getting what I'm saying? I can tell you story upon story. I can tell you story upon story. God is going to use you mightily. I said, God is going to use you mightily.
Amen.
I said, God is going to use you mightily.
Amen.
And so this revival, sometimes, I mean, it's simple. You just get serious. And you stop treating the church like a bottleneck, as if everything, every decision must pass through one person. I too can pray for the sick. The queues should be shorter in that place. Maybe the time has come. Before I pray for anybody, I'll say, "Has any of your brothers or sisters prayed for you?" You must start there. Don't be running to pastor. You can't grow in power that way. You won't. So at least show effort. You know what? Before we go to pastor, can we just agree? You hold hands. I told you, you'll do it before we go. It's one of the things we're going to do. Hold hands. And you pray with boldness. Don't pray like plan B, as if because pastor is not around. Let's just do it and see if God will just don't mistakenly, because I resemble pastor. We all mistake. Come on, are you listening to me? And you grow in it. That's how. You exercise yourself with use. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So, questions every church should be able to ask. Number one, how many people are serving? Been in this church seven years. And you're not, will it be corny if I say, and you're not 7 yet? 7 years. Wisdom. How many people are serving? You know, I think it's called Parkinson's Law. Somebody was applying it in a more executive context, and he said this, you know. Now, let me put it this way. There was a help we used to have in the house, and that help was single-handedly clean the whole house. When we got another help, this was a while ago, so when we got another help, I discovered the help was still tired. Because there is a way people's minds are wired that more hands will not make them more effective. You know, let me tell you something. I don't want to mention an example, but okay, let me put it this way. One of the social media companies, the new boss came and then I think laid off 80% of the staff. I'm not encouraging that. Well, let me just continue the illustration. It's getting awkward. So, I laid off 80% of the staff and the company was still running well. Because some of you, you finish your work exactly 9:30 in the morning and you spend the rest of the time using the office internet to download movies and to do all... Are you getting what I'm saying? So in almost every organization, 1% end up doing all the work and 1% will be stressed. Then the 99% are not doing anything at all. This chair you are sitting on, do you know how it was arranged? Do you know what goes on in preparation for service? These are the questions you must now begin to ask yourself and get interested in. Are you listening to me, please? So, how many people are serving? How many people are being discipled? Discipleship is a totally different thing. Discipleship is a totally different thing. Not everybody carries the same burden for the work. Please, make up your mind to be a disciple. I'm glad you come regularly. That's a good step. Good first step. Be a disciple. Let's be able to point at you and say, this one is a disciple of this ministry. Come on, are you listening to what I'm saying? It will take some effort. It will take some work. You're going to read the books. Listen to the sermons. You know, there's somebody... I had to respond to the DM because I like serious people like that. Not church members that are... Somebody came to me and said, sorry, sir. I just wanted to ask a question. How can I discover my purpose? Honestly, this is how I first responded. Like, I'm like, where do I even start? Okay. Are you aware I have a book on it? Yes. Have you read it? No, but I just have questions. If I nod you. Do you know what it means to write the whole book, preach so many sermons, then you are still coming to me? I should give you special attention as per Nicodemus. You for come for night now. So how many people are being discipled? Number three, how many people are evangelizing? How many people are evangelizing? Let me tell you something. If every single person just successfully invited one person who became a committed church member. Now, do you think that's achievable? Just one person in a whole year? Answer me now. If everybody does that, the attendance has doubled. If any church doesn't double annually, it's because many people don't do that. Because in many churches, you usually have one person who will bring 20 people and then many others who wouldn't. As if it's bad that not bad enough that you don't evangelize. You will now see the post online. You scroll, you don't engage. Remember the Lord is what. Like, just like the flyer. Do something that would bring it on the for you page of your followers or something like that. However, the algorithm works. Are you tracking with me? Thank you, Jesus. So the final thing we're going to do today is you're going to help me pray for the people around you. So please try to stand up. Stand up.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.